without letting those ahadiyas seep into the inner recesses of the heart, until then a person will not benefit. So true knowledge is a light, a divine light which Allah Ta'ala places into the heart. This light, coupled with his knowledge, then guides him in the right direction. It steers him away from evil and guides him towards proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will indicate to him when that light comes that do not go in a certain direction, you are going to fall into the trap of the shayateen, or you are going to follow your whims and desires. Go in the opposite direction, because in there lies the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that light coupled with the knowledge is very, very important. Otherwise, mere superficial knowledge is not sufficient. The Jews in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also identified, they knew that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a final Nabi. The Quran mentions this. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. That those people whom we gave the scriptures, referring to the Jews, they recognized Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of what they have read in the scriptures. All the signs indicate that this is the seal of all the prophets. This is the final Nabi. They knew this. Just as they knew that so and so are our children, our sons, our daughters. Similarly, they knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final Nabi. But because that knowledge did not enter the recesses of their heart, that knowledge was not a real knowledge, it was superficial knowledge. That knowledge did not translate into belief. Knowing is not sufficient. Believing that this is the final Nabi, that is the crux and that is the criterion for Iman. So they knew, but knowing was not sufficient because they did not believe. They did not have full conviction. Because of the enmity for Rasulullah Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not, with their hearts, accept him and believe in him as the final Nabi. So when the knowledge comes into the heart together with divine light that gives a person direction in life, then he realizes the reality of this world as well. He does not become beguiled and deceived by the glitter and glamour of this world. He does not stray away from the correct path. He stays on to the true path. He realizes that this world is merely an adornment. The glitter and glamour of the world is there to tempt a person away. Allah Ta'ala wishes to test the person that to what extent he is lured away from Allah Ta'ala with the beauty of the world, and to what extent he uses the world merely for his necessities, understanding the purpose and the object of his creation. Allah mentioned in the Quran to Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu 'amala. That we have created whatever is in this world as an adornment for the world. And the purpose of this adornment, so that we may test the people to see to what extent they acquire good deeds, how well they are as far as accumulating good deeds are concerned. Allah Ta'ala tests them. So when that knowledge comes together with that light, then a person realizes that this world is not there to hanker after. We should not become slaves of the material things of the world, of the glitter and glamour of the world. The world has been created to serve our needs. So the world is there to serve us. We should not become slaves of the luxuries and material assets of the world. The reality of the world has been mentioned by Nabi Karim Sallam in many ahadith. For example, in one hadith, Nabi Sallam says that لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا تَعْدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوذَةٍ مَا سَقَى مِنْهَا كَافِرًا شَرْبَةً مَعَ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَّمَ وَسَلَّمَ. That if the world in the sight of Allah was even equal in value to the wing of a mosquito, Allah would not have given the kuffar even a sip of water to drink. But Allah gives them all the luxuries of the world. Because Allah Ta'ala knows that whatever they want to enjoy, let them enjoy in this world. In the akhirat, for them, eternal doom and damnation. So this world holds no value in the sight of Allah. It is merely there to serve us. We should not hanker after the world in a way that we forget the purpose of our creation. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions very beautifully that مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ يَجْعَلُ إِسْبَعَهُ فِي الْيَمْ فَيَنْدُرُ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That the life of this world compared to the akhirat, this life is so short, the similitude of that explained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is like a person who places his finger into the ocean, and then he looks at his finger, how much water is attached to the finger, a mere drop in the entire ocean. So the life of this world compared to the akhirat is like a drop in the ocean, even less than a drop in the ocean, because that life is eternal, and this life has to come to an end. So therefore it is very important that together with knowledge that we acquire, if that knowledge is acquired sincerely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will put that light into the heart. And that knowledge will benefit a person. It will take him in the right direction and steer him away from the wrong direction that takes him toward deviation. He will come onto the straight path. After Asr, we are listening to the biography of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, and we heard about his attachment with his Shaykh Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi, and we also heard in the biography that Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi was a class fellow of Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi. There was a very close friendship between them. Just like Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi, who was a founder of Darul Ulum Deoband, he was also a very intelligent person. He used to sometimes say, ke log Haji Sahib ke zohd aur taqwa ko dekh kar unke mu'taqid ho gaye. Main to unke ilm ko dekh kar unka mu'taqid ho gaya. That people have inclined towards Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi by looking at his piety and his abstinence from the world. But I became inclined towards Haji Sahib because of the knowledge that he possesses. That is what the draw card for me was. In spite of the fact that Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi was not a formal graduate of any Darul Ulum. He had not acquired all the sciences that an alim normally acquires going through a system of learning and attending a madrasa. The most that Haji Sahib studied was up to kafiya, which is grammar as far as Arabic is concerned. But Allah Ta'ala put into his heart the reality of that knowledge. The light of that knowledge came into his heart, that he was so much inspired by the little knowledge that Allah Ta'ala put into his heart together with that divine light, that while studying kafiya, when he used to have free time, he used to go sit in the dars of Mishkat Sharif. Go and sit in a classroom where hadith used to be taught. And that time, the teacher of Mishkat Sharif was an alim by the name of Maulana Qalandar Jalalabadi Rahmatullahi. So Haji Sahib used to sit in that classroom. So those students of hadith were far ahead of him, academically. But in spite of that, he used to understand the hadith more than those students would understand the hadith. So much so that sometime in the classroom, when the ustaz was out of the class, the students would engage into an academic discussion about the meaning of a certain hadith. Haji Sahib, although he was still studying kafiya, and that was the limit of his studies, but he used to attend the Mishkat Sharif Dars, which is why some people say that he studied up to Mishkat. But nevertheless, when they would enter into an academic discussion, other students would put their opinions forward, Haji Sahib would put his opinion forward, and the other students were not prepared to accept his opinion. They would say to him that you have understood the hadith incorrectly. But it was not Haji Sahib's temperament to enter into a debate. We heard in a biography also, when Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah went to go debate with that elder, senior alim, Haji Sahib stopped him and said there is no need to debate this matter. So Haji Sahib's temperament was not that of debating, although he knew Allah Ta'ala put him at ease, that the way you have understood the hadith is correct, But he remained silent when the other students rebuked him. He waited till the Ustaz Maulana Qalandar Jalalabadi Rahmatullahi entered the classroom. When the Ustaz found that they were engaged in a discussion and there was a difference of opinion, when everyone put their opinion forward and they also said, Haji Imdadullah Sahab's opinion in the matter is this, the Ustaz gave preference to the opinion of Haji Imdadullah Sahab Rahmatullahi, that his view is correct in this manner. So this is what you call ilm. So Mawla Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi says, that I became inclined and fell spiritually in love with Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, not merely because of his piety and abstinence from the world, but because of his profound knowledge. That he had knowledge with that divine light. That reality of the knowledge had entered the recesses of his heart. Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi was a very intelligent person, a great intellectual, very intricate masail even of aqaid. He would explain it to even a layman in a way that the layman would understand. So here too, he explained the difference between ilm and ma'lumat, the difference between true knowledge and mere information, superficial knowledge. To explain that, he gave the example of absar and mubsarat, that there is a difference between sightseeing, looking at landmarks around the world, just in a superficial way, casting a cursory glance, as opposed to absar, looking at these things with a critical eye. So there is a big difference. And to explain this, he gave a very simple example. He says, a man travels throughout the world. He visits, let's say, 20 countries. India, France, Egypt, many countries of the world. So he's traveled to many countries. He has gone to all the sightseeing places, seen all the landmarks, Eiffel Tower in Paris. He has seen Taj Mahal in Agra in India. He has seen the pyramids in Egypt. He has seen all these landmarks, but in a superficial way. He has visited 20 countries. Another man is perhaps an architect or an engineer. He has visited merely 2 countries, India and France. He has seen the Taj Mahal in Agra. He has seen the Eiffel Tower in Paris. But because he is an architect or an engineer, he studies the architectural accomplishment there, or the engineering wonderment of the Taj Mahal. He studies it very carefully, close up. When he goes to Paris, he wonders at the architectural accomplishment of the Eiffel Tower. He studies it very carefully. So in truth, this man has visited only 2 countries. The other man has visited 20 countries. But people will be inclined towards this person because he will be able to explain more professionally the reality of the Eiffel Tower, the reality of the Taj Mahal, as opposed to the other person. So just as here, the difference between seeing something superficially and looking at the same thing with a critical eye, such a big difference. Similarly, there is a difference between ilm and malumat. Information, superficial knowledge, and the reality of knowledge coupled with divine light and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a big difference between these two. So in this way, even though Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi was not formally a graduate of any Darul Ulum, in spite of the fact, great ulama such as Hazrat Maulan Gangohi Rahmatullahi became bayat on his hands. Hazrat Maulan Hanwi Rahmatullahi was his murid. Hazrat Maulan Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi became his murid, because they saw that Allah Ta'ala has put into his heart the reality of knowledge. And people like Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi so often say, after saying the company of Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, they used to say, ke madrasa mein baith kar humne mithai hasil ki, lekin mithai khana humne Haji Sahib ke qadmon par sikha. That studying in the madrasa, we merely acquired the sweetmeats, the barfi, the jalebi, but how to eat those sweetmeats, that we learn sitting at the feet of our Shaykh Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Because Allah Ta'ala has put into his heart directly the true reality of knowledge coupled with that divine light whereby he himself was guided and he could guide his murids as well. So Maulana Muhammad Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullahi, was also, as I mentioned, a very intellectual person. Intricate masail of aqaid, he would explain in a jaffi, in simple terms. For example, there are two technical terms in aqidah. One is known as qadara and the other qada. Qadar and qada. Qadar, which we refer to as taqdeer. So, qadar and qada go hand in hand, but yet there is a slight difference between the two. Qadar or taqdeer refers to the planning stages. Before Allah Ta'ala even created the universe, He had predestined, pre-planned everything that a certain man will be born on a certain day, in a certain country, in a certain city. And then after creating the universe, when a certain man is born on that day, in that country, in that city, then that is called qaza. The planning stages is taqdeer, and when the taqdeer manifests itself, it materializes in the outside world, that is called qaza. So always, whatever materializes in the outside world, that always corresponds with the taqdeer, with the destiny that Allah Ta'ala had chalked out even before creating the universe. So to explain the difference between qadar and qaza, Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullah used to give this example, that when a draftsman or an architect draws the plans for a house, so those are the plans on paper, that there will be so many rooms in the house, this will be the size of the rooms, etc. And this will be the land on which the house will be built. It is merely the planning stages. Then eventually it is handed over to the artisan, to the builder, and the house comes into realization. It makes itself manifest. It materializes in the outside world. The home is complete. So Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmatullah used to say, taqdeer is like the architect's plan drawn on paper. And qada is the house manifesting itself in the outside world. So beautifully, this intricate terms he explained by giving this beautiful example. That the architect's plan, that is taqdeer. Before creating the universe, Allah Ta'ala planned, chalked out everything. And then when the architect's plan manifests itself in the shape of the built house, completed house, that is qaza. So just as it is important for us to believe in taqdeer, that Allah Ta'ala has predestined everything, it is also necessary for us to accept qaza. That whatever Allah Ta'ala has created in the outside world, we have to accept it. We cannot raise, Allah forbid, any objections. For example, Allah has created good also. Allah has created evil also. Khaliqu kulli shay. Allah has created iman also. Allah has created kufr as well. But there's a reason behind it. In order to test mankind, that who goes towards good and who goes towards evil, who adopts iman and who adopts kufr. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Those who wish to adopt iman, they are at liberty to do so. Those who want to go to the path of kufr, they are also free to do so. But of course, they will be taken to task in the akhirat. But Allah has created both. So we have no right to question Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah, why did you create, na'uzu billah, evil in the world? Why did you create kufr in the world? This has been created in order to test us. So we have to be glad at even the kufr that Allah has created. Yes, the devastating effects of kufr, that we must not be pleased with. That the result of kufr is that a person is heading for eternal doom and damnation. So creating the kufr, Allah has created the kufr, that we accept. We do not raise any objection. But the devastating effects of kufr that we see, that is something we should be not pleased with. Something that should make us unhappy, to keep us away from kufr, when we see those devastating effects, that how this person will end up in eternal fire in the akhirat. That is why in one hadith, Hadith al-Qudsi is a hadith in which the words of Allah Ta'ala are mentioned. Although there is some debate about the chain of narration, but the content of the hadith is correct on its place. In there it is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala says to this effect that مَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَ بِقَضَائِي وَلَمْ يَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ بَلَائِي وَلَمْ يَشْكُرْ عَلَىٰ نُعَمَائِي فَلْيَخْرُجْ تَحْتَ سَمَائِي وَلْيَتَّخِذْ رَبًّا سِوَائِي. that the person who is not happy at my decrees, that whatever I have decreed in the outside world to come into existence, the person who is not happy with that, every moment should be happy. But if someone is not happy, and if someone does not exercise patience when I subject him to tests, when I bestow a person with my favors, he does not thank me for that, then such a person should remove himself from this universe. And if he wishes, he can take on another God. Then I am not happy to be his God and his guide because of him not being happy at my decrees, not being patient at the tests that I subject him to, not being grateful at my bounties. Such a person should make himself scarce, in other words. So basically, to be pleased and to accept taqdeer, and also to accept qada. Like when a house is built, we are happy at the plan that is drawn, we are happy at the final house that comes into existence. So similarly, we have to be happy and accept and believe in predestiny, and also be happy at the result of what Allah Ta'ala has destined when it comes into reality in the outside world. So people who had this guide, this light of knowledge, our pious predecessors, we find that they recognize the beguiling nature of this world, and they steered their lives towards the correct direction to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not interested in the pleasures of this world. Look at a person like Imam Awza'i rahmatullah alayh. He was a great jurist of his time. He did not become as famous as Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Imam Malik, but he was also a very proficient jurist of his time. It is said about Imam Awza'i rahmatullah alayh that he was so much detached from the world and luxuries of the world, he would eat so little that in his youth, he would only go to the toilet once every month. Imagine that. Medical fraternity will say that it is not healthy. Person has to go attend to the call of nature. But this was in truth a karamat, a miracle, that in an entire month, he would only visit the toilet once. What does that tell you? That he used to eat very little. His consumption of food was very minimal. When he reached old age, his mother was still living. The mother started going to the ulama and buzrugs, requesting them that make dua for my son, that in his youth, he used to go to toilet once a month, now he goes to toilet once every 15 days. So he has become ill, so make dua for him. So these were those people that realized the value of the akhirat and the beguiling nature of this world. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh was a resident of Medina Munawwara. Obviously, he used to go to Mecca to perform his Hajj, to perform Umrah. On one occasion, when he went for Umrah or for Hajj, and he stayed in Makkatul Mukarramah together with his companions, he had so much respect for the Haram of Makkatul Mukarramah that after staying there for 17 days, he said to his companions, "Let us now return to Medina Munawwara, because for 17 days I have not opened my satr." So much respect for the haram that he did not open his satr and disclose his private parts for a total of 17 days. So they returned to Medina Munawwara. According to the Maliki Mazhab, like Makkatul Mukarramah, Medina also has its boundaries of the haram which have to be respected. So Imam Malik was a resident of Medina Munawwara. Obviously, being a resident, he needed to go to toilet. He needed to open his satr. So whenever he had the urge to go toilet, he used to go to the boundary of Medina Munawwara. And he would sit right on the boundary in such a way that if he had to pass water, his body would remain within the boundary of the city, and the water, the urine, used to pass out of the boundary. So much respect that he could not tolerate the urine falling into the boundary of the haram of Medina Munawwara. And he himself stayed within the boundary because, of course, it was also his desire that his death must take place in Medina Munawwara. He did not wish to leave the boundary. So these people realize the value of the akhirat and respect of a certain landmarks of Islam, the Haram of Makkah, Medina Munawwara. They show total respect to these places. And they realize the value of the akhirat. When Allah Ta'ala wished to guide Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, who was a very wealthy king of his time, he ruled over a vast kingdom. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to guide him, take him out of that lap of luxury. So once he was sitting in his palace, he heard some sounds on the rooftop. Allah Ta'ala has sent some farishta, some angel for his guidance. So he heard some noises. He was sitting alone in his palace. He called out, "Who goes there? Who is on the rooftop?" So the answer came that, "I am a certain Bedouin. I am looking for my camel." So he replied, "Are you foolish? Are you insane? How can a camel climb onto the roof?" So the reply came that just as a person cannot find his camel on a rooftop, similarly, you cannot find Allah living in the lap of luxury. So that was an eye-opener for him. That was a jolt for him that took him out to the kingdom, and he lived the life of a pauper. We have heard of a person going from rags to riches. This was the other way around, from riches to rags. And he led his life as an ascetic, a pauper, a poor person. He found enjoyment in that life. Once he was walking along the shore, and a ship happened to pass close by the shore. There were mischievous people on board the ship. They were looking for someone to have some fun with. So they noticed this forlorn figure alone on the shore. Someone took a little boat and rowed to the shore, and forcefully they grabbed Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi and took him onto the ship. What was their idea of fun in those days? When they find an innocent person like this, they would make him sit, people would sit around him, each one would take turns to slap the person. So they put Ibrahim bin Adham in the center, and they began to slap at him. But he remained silent, he took all the blows. After a short while, he hears an unknown voice, message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because here people were interfering with a friend of Allah, with Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. It comes in a hadith that Allah Ta'ala says to this effect that man aada waliyi faqad aadantu bil harb, or kama qal, that the person who shows enmity for a friend of mine, I declare war upon that person. Man aada li waliyan aadantu bil harb. So immediately he heard a voice from the unseen telling him that, "O Ibrahim bin Adham, these people are harassing you. You give the green light. I will cause this entire ship to sink with all the occupants." But he in turn replied that, "Oh Allah," because he had in his mind the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sa'azam, the quality of forgiveness. He replied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, just as you have the ability of punishing these people, you also have the ability of forgiving them. I have forgiven all these people. Allah, you show them the right path. You make them walis also." His dua became accepted to the extent that every single person upon that ship thereafter became a wali of Allah. With the dua of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi. So these were people that recognized, identified the temporary nature of the world and the value of the akhirat. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala creates that reality in our hearts as well. Allah Ta'ala gives us the light, divine light, that will give us direction in life. Allah Ta'ala make us realize the temporary nature of this world, that this world has been created to serve us. Inna dunya khuliqat lakum wa innakum khuliqtum lil akhirah. The world has been created to serve you. You should not become slaves of the world. Let the world save you. Let the world serve you. You have been created for the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been created for the akhirat. Make an effort for the akhirat. That is the purpose of our creation, that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, "I have not created the species of man and the species of jinn except that they serve me, they worship me." So we have been created for the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That can only come about when we realize the temporary nature of this world. We shun the glitter and the glamour of this world, and we steer our lives in the direction of the akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزل المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلتها على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات لله زاكيات لله الطيبات صلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات صلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني، اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض، ويا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا حي يا قيوم، برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وعورة وذنب وخطية. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أعنا على سكرات الموت وغمرات الموت. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة، ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما أسألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.